happy Advent to you and Happy New Year. Yes, Happy New Year. Did you know this, that when we celebrate Holy Communion in just a few minutes, we will be ushering in a new church year, not a calendar year, but a new church year. And so Advent and the ringing in of the new church year, these are very important milestones or markers for us over the course of time, especially if you want to develop a positive outlook on life. Because these types of events, what they do is, in the wisdom of the church, they provide us with a golden opportunity to stop, reflect, and then make resolutions for the coming year as the people of God. So let's spend a few moments this morning doing that very thing. The first thing that we see in the readings is that Advent gives us the opportunity to be reminded of what is our final destination in life. As Christians, what is our end goal or in life? Or as the scriptures describe, what is our upward calling or the prize that we are trying to attain? Well, it's taking up residence in what is called the New Jerusalem. Now, let me expand that a little bit. Jeru means city, and Salem comes from shalom. So what do you have? The Jerusalem is the city of peace, the city of peace. And the city of peace, just to say those words, are very calming, aren't they? There's just a sense of calming. Let me ask you, would you like to live in the city of peace? Would you be willing to pay for a condo, or I would even settle for a tent, to be able to live in a city where true and genuine peace never runs out? It is eternal. I would dare to guess that we would be willing to pay anything, since peace is what all of us are really looking for in the first place. That's what life's all about, and we're taking all of these things in life and trying to push it in to make us feel at peace. But the reality is only God can give us true, genuine, and lasting peace. And if you have that peace, you have everything. There's nothing less left to have. That's everything. And the prophet Isaiah and the psalmist David, they provide us with some of the beautiful imagery of what the city of peace will be like. Listen to a few of the words. It sits on the highest mountaintop. Only unity and harmony lie within its walls. There's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no discord, there's no conflict, there's no pain, and there is no suffering. It says there's no wars, there's no training for wars, there's no natural disasters. Here's a good one. You don't have to lock the doors at night. Didn't any of you remember doing that when I was a kid? We never locked the doors at night. Now you got to put 5 or 6 locks on the door. Laughing can be heard in the streets of the city as because people are glad, they are joyous, they are happy, and they are unafraid of what's going on around them. And then, if that were not enough, God is in the center of it all, and His loving will is accomplished everywhere. Your will be done, Jesus says, on earth as it is in heaven. So as we remember on this first Sunday of Advent, after Christ's second coming, the city of peace, it will descend out of heaven, it will rest upon the face of the new earth, and then we will go to live there forever and ever. The city of peace, it is definitely serene and peaceful. And what a message of hope that is for us today, as you and I remain a little while longer in the throes of this life. There's not a lot of city of peace going on around us today, is there? But that is our hope. That's our destination. And that brings us to the second point of why looking out over the horizon of Advent is so important. And Jesus and Paul particularly focus on this point in the readings today, and it is this. We must remind ourselves of the necessity to remain spiritually fit in this life, to exercise our spiritual muscles and remain and stay in contact with who we are as a spiritual being and our love for God. What did Jesus say? He said, stay awake. What did Paul say? He said, wake up from your sleeping. Now, all with exclamation marks. You know, these are pretty strong terms that Jesus and Paul are providing us with, because that's how essential it is to life. In other words, what they're doing is saying, as you are making your journey to the city of peace in this world, be alert in maintaining your spiritual vitality in life. Jesus likened the time where we are to the days of Noah. Have you ever wondered what he was talking about? Now, somebody like me, being a Bible geek, I'm always thinking, what's Jesus trying to say in these kinds of things? What did he mean by that? What was it like to live in the world just before God closes the door to the ark? Well, here's what we know, because there's great insight into this second point. We know this, that there was so much turmoil in the world that day that people's hope in God had all but shriveled up and died. God had been lost in the midst of all of the disappointments of life. And what happens is, if we allow ourselves to set into that, eventually we establish a state of spiritual starvation. And the pursuit of happiness then, once we do that, it is reduced to making choices according to what we can get for ourselves. It's like, I want this, I want that. It's not like, well, what does God want for my life? And that's what it was like in the days of Noah. And that's what it was like in the days of Paul and Jesus. Because what we find is, listen to the words that they speak. They say that life has been reduced to personal choices, personal desires and wants, like eating, drinking, finding a husband or a wife, promiscuity, drunkenness, lust, rivalry, and jealousy. Just whatever it is that we want. And a contemporary example of that, especially as we're now, this being the first day of December, would be replacing the Christ in Christmas. How often do you hear the Christ in Christmas? But what you hear today is the holidays, and with that is the emphasis of consumerism. Buy, buy, buy. But Christmas is about Christ. It's not about these other things that we get so wrapped up in. But that's part of losing that sense of spiritual vitality. So I will agree that while it is true that the church today, families and government, workplace, and the world in general are topsy-turvy. I would agree that. There's a lot of turmoil going on in life. I want to share this with you because this is the word of encouragement and hope that we find in the scripture readings. We hear this, don't let disappointment extinguish the flame of Christ in your life. Remain spiritually fit as you walk through this life. Don't give up hope. And while I would agree that we live in a world today, do you live in a world today of busyness, stress, anger, despair, being overworked and preoccupation with endless to-do lists? What are we called to do? Let the light of Christ shine brightly in your life. Stay awake, we hear the words today in the readings, and don't fall asleep at the wheel. Now, like I said, these are some strong words, but they're meant to be because they're vitally essential if you want to remain in touch and remain in contact with what the meaning and purpose of life is all about. Remember this. This is essential. This is the teaching of the church. This is the teaching of the scriptures. Today, you are on a journey to the city of peace with Jesus as your helper and your guide. And as such, remain spiritually fit. Exercise those spiritual muscles through such means as prayer, celebrating the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist, studying the Word of God as we're doing right now, enjoying the company of your parish family as we're doing right now, and participating in giving preferential treatment to the poor. The third and final point as we cross the threshold threshold into Advent is the resolution to be peace. Be peace. What resolutions have you made for Advent and for the new church here in regards to being peace? And are you prepared today, have you come prepared today to implement those resolutions over the next year? Remember, after all, we are citizens. Our citizenship is the city of peace. So peace is really important in what we do in this life. And what did Paul say to the church? He said, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. There's where the peace needs to reside. And then we need to share that peace with other people. And that's what St. Francis of Assisi said. He says, as the church, we have been called to heal wounds, to unite what has fallen apart, and to bring home those who have lost their way. That's your purpose in this life today. And then he goes on to say this, Lord, make me an instrument of what? Your peace, right? That's right, your peace, Lord. Where there is hatred, let me sow charity. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is error, truth. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant, O Lord, that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to what? To console others, right? To be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. So I encourage you this morning, Christian, be peace in your corner of the world. Brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, be peace. Children of God, be peace. Laity, clergy, parishioners alike, be peace. Moms, dads, and children, be peace. Elected officials, be peace. Managers and co-workers in the workplace, be peace. Husbands and wives, be peace. In other words, everyone, everywhere, be peace. Take your swords and beat them into plowshares, and your spears and beat them into pruning hooks. And as we do that, we will be reminded of the words of a very famous song which go like this. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with who? Me. That's exactly right. Bring peace to this world. God bless all of you.
And now, my dear friends, it is with the greatest of joy that I invite all